tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 24th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, it's Friday once again. The weekend is almost here, and you know what that means? That means we have a special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How is life treating you?
Well, I'm doing all right, and I see that we're going Britain back to the future, back to 2019, where we're still doing Britain apparently is still doing the whole woke thing, still not catching up to current times. But to be fair, I see hints that they might try to bring it back here in the U.S. as well. It's we'll get into why I think some of that is and some of the purposes of it as we go along. But yeah, I see that once again we're getting back towards inching towards drag queen story hour in the UK, one book at a time.
Once again, I mean, this is absolutely horrendous. I mean, one of these books we've actually talked about before, but it seems there's been a study done on these children's books with pervert propaganda in them. And it's not just the one or two that we learned about a couple of years back. There's literally a deluge of them. And the article that I'm taking for our notes comes from the Daily Mail. And the headline is Trans Lobby Hijacking Primary School Reading with Sex Change Propaganda as Damning Report Reveals More Than 60 Books Featuring Children Born in the Wrong Body, Women with Beards, and Bizarre Non-Binary Guinea Pigs. And that headline really doesn't actually do it justice, because it's not just the trans lobby, it's all the LGBTQ stuff that's actually in there. And it's far more degenerate than children being born in the wrong body or just a bearded lady. Trans activists are bombarding primary schools with sex change propaganda in the form of brightly coloured picture books, according to a new report. Backed by former Children's Laureate Anne Fine OBE, it identifies more than 60 books from major publishing houses which feature children born in the wrong body, women with beards and mastectomy scars, and bizarre characters, including a non-binary guinea pig and a male teddy bear who is sad because he wants to be a girl. The report, compiled by concerned authors and editors with traditional views on biology and sex, warns gender affirmation has really got its claws into publishing staff, authors, and librarians, and I would say also the teachers as well. It's the teachers that are promoting this stuff. The librarians are putting it to the front of the library. The publishing houses are advertising it and putting it in there with all the other books that go out for the children. And it's not like these books are actually popular. The whole point of them is to propagandize children. Of course, it's just going to confuse them. A teddy bear that wants to be a girl. Why would he want to be a girl? You know, I mean, that's going to be the question that a child is going to ask. Why would he want to be a girl? It's getting them to ask themselves all these sorts of questions that children don't want to be asking. That, you know, they want boundaries, they want things that are solid, they want to know exactly what something is. They don't want to be told there's confusion, they don't want to have confusion introduced into this. And I mean, it really is quite extreme. They've got S&M stuff in there and all sorts that are being seen by these children. So it's not just that you've got to be concerned about them at school, you've now got to be concerned about them in the library. You've got to be careful, of course, with what they put on the television. And it's just everywhere that they're putting this stuff out. And of course, the reason for it is we don't want homosexuals and transgenders to feel left out of society. We want them to feel just as normal as everybody else. And this desire for people not to feel left out, this is what it leads to, the propagandizing, the sexual propagandizing of children. Now, what's better, that a few people in society might feel a little bit left out, or an entire generation of children being sexualized at a young age with basically what is not average or normal sexuality, but what is deviant sexuality? What's better? I would suggest that it's better that we have a few adults who might feel a little bit left out rather than traumatizing all these children with this. What say you, Grandpa?
Well, it's a flashback to the Daily Mail, because, of course, when you were, shall we say, away on vacation, Sven, you know, I did Daily Mail Mondays, so I have a lot of experience with the Daily Mail. And so I have to point out one of my pet peeves right off the bat. I bit my lip not to interrupt you while you were getting started with this. And that is my whole pet peeve, where the Daily Mail does this thing, like with this article, where, like, you know, I actually, you know, they actually taught us in school when I was a kid, you know, a lifetime ago. And, you know, none of my English teachers would have allowed us to make a headline a paragraph long. You know, it's supposed to be a title. A headline is supposed to be succinct. It's just a quick one-line deal. You know, can you imagine, Sven, if I recorded an episode of The Parish of the Patriots and I send it to you, you know, and for the suggested title of the episode, I made this paragraph-long thing. You would be like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? But this is a trademark of the Daily Mail. It's a small thing, nothing to do with the story, but it's always been one of my pet peeves, that and the fact that they tend to be really wordy and go long and repeat themselves over and over again, like more words. And then you'll have a headline. This has nothing to do with the topic, but it's the Daily Mail and I got to talk about it. They'll do a whole paragraph for the headline of the story, and then you'll go through and they'll have a paragraph here, like the next one coming up that you're going to read. And it's a paragraph, but it's also one sentence. You have a paragraph in the story that's way shorter than the headline of the story. But anyway, I digress. Back to the topic at hand. This is not just, they want you to view these things in, as an isolation, in kind of a vacuum. And what I mean by that is they're talking about trans activists right off the bat. Trans activists are bombarding primary schools with these books. These librarians have them in these groups. And let me tell you why that's bullshit. Because this has to be approved by the government. To put it this way, let's say you or I, let's say I got a job as a school librarian, middle school, high school, whatever librarian. My job to run the library at the school. And I'm like, you know, I want a wide range of literature here for our students to be exposed to have access to. So I put a nice, fresh, good translation copy of Mein Kampf on the shelf. It's a historical work. How far do you think that's going to fly, especially if this was in the UK? Well, it wouldn't. Why? Because the government's going to come in and say you're not allowed to do that. These books are in the school because the government says they can be in the school. See, they hand wave around to talk about trans groups and this and that. But, you know, if somebody wanted some group lobby to put Mein Kampf in the library, it would be an outrage and it wouldn't be allowed. So this is the government. You know, they use these groups and these lobby groups or trans activists or whatever. They use that as a smoke screen, and they hope that you won't step back and say, well, this is the government, because you can't just put whatever you want in a school library. That's a government school. So, you know, they use these groups as smoke screens, so you don't stop and consider this is the government promoting this. You know, if you get mad at a trans activist group, what accountability do they have? Of course, the government doesn't have any accountability either, but they want the mirage that they do. So they use these groups as a smokescreen. We don't want to lose the plot here. This is the government. You can't just put whatever book you want to. If you're a librarian in the school, you can't sit here and go, oh, well, I'm going to put transgender books any more than you can. I'm going to put Mein Kampf. It's just the government has to approve it. So the government is approving. It doesn't matter what trans activists want. They're bombarding the school. Like, they just went in there and just dropped books on the shelf. Like, they could do that. This is the government doing it, and they're doing it for a reason. I'll get into it as the story goes along. But we don't want to forget that. They're using trans activists and all of this other, these groups. They have no authority to say what goes in a library. The government has that authority. So this is the government doing it, not just these trans activists. And again, as we go along, we'll get into why I think some of that is. But yeah, we don't want to look at this and just buy their narrative. This is the government doing it. So seems like people will be kind of upset at the government.
Well, they should be. And you're quite right to point out that it's the government that's behind this. I mean, it's the Equality Act. And all the other legislation that follows on from that. The Equality Act says that every branch of the government, all the civil service, they all have to be seen to be promoting diversity and equality. And now that they've included homosexuals and transgenders into that equality, it means that they have to be treated the same as everybody else. So then they say, well, that means that you have to have books aimed at children describing homosexual and transsexual lifestyles, because otherwise you're treating them unequally. So you have to do this. And who is it that's going to write these books? Well, it's going to be trans activists, and it's going to be LGBTQ activists, isn't it? So it's that's why I say it's homosexual propaganda. It's transgender propaganda. In actual fact, the old word used to be that it was perverted. And what pervert means is to change the course of a stream out from its natural direction that it's going in, from its natural stream. So, and that is what this is doing. It's going against what children would understand naturally at that age. They would not be questioning gender and things like this at that age. So that's why I would say that really it's it's perverting the natural course of that children would normally take to be introducing this stuff to them. But of course, when you say that, you run the risk of appearing to be homophobic, as if you're trying to insult the homosexuals and the transgenders. And I'm not trying to insult them. I'm pointing out that this content, which is being put in there for children, is not suitable for children, and it has safeguarding issues. Publishing has been entirely captured by a warped ideology and is now severely out of step with the population at large. Close quote. Despite little evidence that such books are commercially popular, the Mail on Sunday has established they are used by hundreds of primary schools on the recommendation of inclusivity charities such as No Outsiders, Stonewall, the Rainbow Flag Award, and Just Like Us. Gender-themed stories are read out in lessons on diversity and inclusion or as part of compulsory relationships education, despite the objection of parents who say they were given no warning that their children would see such material. So there we have it. I mean, it's on the recommendation of inclusivity charities such as No Outsiders, Stonewall, the Rainbow Flag Award, and Just Like Us. Well, they're all homosexual activist charities. And the reason why they are the ones that are giving the instructions to the schools is because the school is told that they have to abide by this equality law. And that means that they have to teach children about these things. Who are they going to get to teach the children about these things? Well, you need an expert, don't you? You need an expert. You need an expert on transgender. You need an expert on LGBTQ. And well, who is going to be an expert on this? Well, it's not certainly not going to be somebody that thinks that this sort of stuff shouldn't be shown to children, is it? It's going to be an activist. It's going to be a trans activist. It's going to be a homosexual activist. That's why these groups get invited into the schools, because they are seen as the experts on this issue. And this is where these ideas come from. This is when the sort of content that they say that the schools should be showing to children. And quite right, they say that the parents are given no warning that the children will see such material. Well, the parents know that there is the Equality Act. They know that we have gay marriage. We know that what used to be against the law is now within the law. I mean, the parents should know that this is the sort of stuff that is going to be shown to their children at these schools. I mean, this is the reason why the homosexuals wanted the law changed. They wanted the law changed so that they could put this propaganda out to children, because they think that it's a good thing that children see this, because they think it's going to lead to less homophobia. But again, I would say, well, what's better, less homophobia or children being traumatized and sexualized at a young age? And I would say that it's concern for children that should take precedence rather than fear of adult homophobia. Grandpa, any thoughts on that?
Well, these things serve a much more practical purpose than just pushing a certain ideology. Your government there in the UK is a failure. Your entire system is breaking down. I mean, y'all have had, what, 7 prime ministers in 10 years? I mean, the entire people, the population as a whole is rapidly losing any and all faith in the system, and the system needs the people to still buy into it. So people are looking at the government and saying this system doesn't serve us anymore. And like I say, you're seeing this in Tory voters no longer coming out and voting for Tories and so on and so forth. So you've got, of course, many tensions. The migrants they're bringing in, a lot of civil unrest brewing under the surface. So what do? They've got to direct the public somewhere else. And that's what a lot of this stuff serves a purpose for. Yeah, they push in an ideology, but it's supposed to be outrageous. You know, it's not about inclusivity. Following the law, do any of these Western democracies give a crap about the law? No, they observe the law as it's handy to them. This is to help keep people compartmentalized, contained. They don't care if you're outraged about that. In fact, that's what they want. They're purposely, I'm not saying it doesn't matter or that you shouldn't be upset about it. I'm saying that's all part of the plan. You know, and put it another way, as an example here in the U.S., as things are progressing right now, I expect to see another BLM type incident. I really do. I'm expecting right now what they're using is this stuff with the ICE agents. You know, they're trying to generate an outrage. Why? Because you have everybody, left, right, center, whole demographics of the population that are openly now talking about the U.S. government is controlled by the Israeli government. I mean, everybody, people like, you know, are saying things, regular people are talking about things that only people like us were talking about 10 years ago, about the Israeli government is running the U.S. government. These American politicians are bought and paid for by Israel. And they don't want that. So, you know, they keep trying to generate new outrage stories. That's why I expect if this continues on that we're going to get some sort of BLM thing. That way they can get people back on the plantation. The conservatives can get mad because look at this. These people are burning cities down and they can try to get the leftists back over here in the camp, you know, and talk about white supremacy and racism because they want you talking about that. They do not want you talking about Israel owns the U.S. government. They don't want you talking about that. They want you fighting among each other. It's the same thing. The entire government system in Britain, you know, as somebody on the outside looking in, not like I'm a close follower of British politics, but I can look from the outside in and see that the system is in breakdown. It is in a crisis mode that hasn't been recognized yet. It has no legitimacy. The people are openly talking about your two-tier justice system. Everybody is talking about the fact that you have all these people thrown in prison for tweets or Facebook posts, and they're letting actual violent criminals out of prison. It is in a crisis state, and these stories, they push these things because this gets everybody focused in an area that's like a containment zone. It's a safe thing. They don't care about your angry and people are going back and forth about, you know, transgenderism in the schools. That part of that is to suck some of that energy out. You know, and again, you see it here in the U.S. They keep promoting these stories about ICE agents doing this and that. And that is because they're trying. There's a lot of energy on the left right now against Israel and their behavior. And they're trying to suck that energy back out and redirect it into something else, you know, into the ICE agents, which are always in every one of these news stories. They're always white guys. You know, the government that promotes nonstop diversity, every time there's ICE agents involved in something that's making the news, 100%, it's always nothing but white guys. It's kind of strange, isn't it? So this is about diverting, you know, and like I say, this story here, it's about diverting. They don't care if people are angry over it. That's part of the program. What they don't want people talking about is the utter failure of the system losing legitimacy, the system not representing anybody. hearing the story. They've got you talk. They've got, I'm not saying you, but they've got the people talking about trans activist groups and promoting this in the school, but not talking about the failing, completely illegitimate government. You see, they want to redirect that focus. These stories serve to redirect people's focus away from what they don't want you looking at. Because here's the thing. If the government doesn't follow laws, their own laws, and they don't, and they don't represent the people, when that legitimacy breaks down, at some point in time, the population says, why are these guys calling the shots? If they don't follow the rules, why should we follow the rules? If they show no respect towards us, why should we show respect and deference towards them? That's what's dangerous. And so these stories like this that they produce, they serve that purpose to refocus that energy.
Well, they try to distract from, you know, the fact that this is homosexual propaganda, that by just highlighting the transgender side of it, as if the homosexual side of it's okay. It's just a transgender side that we object to. All of it is not suitable for children. The report cites publications including the ABC of Gender Identity for ages 5+, which teaches that A is for agender, B is for bigender, C is for cisgender. And imagine that. You've got a child that needs to learn the alphabet, and they put out a book which is going to teach them about all these different genders which don't actually exist in reality. Next, they've got a picture cover of a book, and it's called Granddad's Pride. And it shows you a white grandfather with a gay pride flag with the trans bits on it as well. So it's a trans-inclusive gay pride flag. And he's got a brown granddaughter. And you think, well, hang on a minute. So it's saying here that the grandfather is homosexual. Well, how on earth is a child supposed to know that their grandfather is homosexual unless he's actually talked about his sexual activities with his granddaughter? I mean, that is completely unethical. It's something that should never happen. You shouldn't have your grandparents talking about sexual activities to their granddaughter. And yet that is what this book says. It's Granddad's Pride. And it's got the picture on the front. Grandpa there with his gay pride flag and his brown granddaughter. And that's won lots of awards, apparently. It won the British Book Award and the Waterstone Children's Book Prize. Waterstones is one of the biggest bookshops in Britain. The next one that we have there, I think this is actually one of the images from the story, and it's got Grandpa and he's in S&M bondage gear. And then next to him, he's got like a mother with a child on or a father with a child on his shoulders. And it looks like a mother with a child right next to him walking along. They're obviously at a gay pride demonstration. So he's there in his bondage gear at the gay pride demonstration. And then you've got toddlers there as well. So it's effectively saying that this is the sort of atmosphere that is fine for toddlers. So toddlers are going to see that if they were to go to a gay pride demonstration. They would see that sort of thing and they would think, oh, that's a thing for children. So when they see that, and it's not at a gay pride demonstration, when it's outside a gay club or a gay bar or whatever, it's going to have broken down their natural defences, isn't it? And they're likely to go over and say, oh, mummy, can we go and talk to that interesting man over there in the same clothing that was at that carnival that we went to last week? And you should not be mixing the two things together at all. The book featured an image of a person wearing bondage clothing and was first reported on 3 years ago when it was withdrawn from a preschool in Hull. And that's the one that we've talked about before, this grandfather one. We've also got Bodies Are Cool for ages 2 to 8, which portrays a woman with a beard and mastectomy scar. So a woman that has cut her breasts off, I consider that to be a good role model for children, is to see a woman that's cut her breasts off. Granddad's Pride includes images of men in bondage gear, children holding the trans flag proclaiming trans rights now, and a woman with mastectomy scars. And that book is for ages 3+. That's aimed at 3-year-olds, bondage gear, S&M gear. Introducing Teddy for ages up to 5. Thomas the Teddy eventually admits, in my heart I've always known I am a girl Teddy, not a boy Teddy. Again, not something that an idea that you want to be introducing to children. Peanut Goes for the Gold, ages 4 to 8, features a non-binary guinea pig who becomes a gymnast. Bye Bye Binary, ages up to 4 is narrated by a baby character in a pushchair who shouts, "I'm ready to smash gender norms. They're only social constructs anyway." And smashing things is always left-wing talk. They always want to smash things. They're extremely violent. That's all they ever seem to want to do is smash their opponents. They're not friendly people. They're not nice people. And they're teaching this to 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds wanting to smash gender norms. Again, it's feminism. This is the sort of stuff that's being taught in these schools. There's only a few podcasts back, I was talking about how at the largest teachers union at their conference, they were talking about how can they train the children to be Antifa. It's completely politicized, but the fact that they're teaching them this highly sexualized content that is going out to children is absolutely scandalous. The report entitled Through the Looking Glass has been issued by the SEEN, the Sex Equality and Equity Network, in Publishing Group. And I did look this up. I had a bit of difficulty actually finding it, but I did find the report. It's a lengthy report. It's 100-odd pages, and I will put a link with the podcast description. Copies have been sent to MPs and major publishers, and it is available to the public online. Grandpa, what do you think of those titles? I mean, that's horrendous to think that that's being taught to children, isn't it?
I was just chuckling over this idea that they've sent copies of this very serious report to MPs. Yeah, I'm sure that'll make a difference because your government totally represents you. I always laugh, too, when they talk about these books like this. And they talk about, oh, it got these awards. They don't ever tell you how many copies they've sold, have you? And do you know why that is? I'll tell you that's why. Because nobody's buying this shit. Nobody is buying. Do you think anybody went out and bought Bye Bye Binary? Granddad? I just almost made a joke there, but it might have been a little vulgar, so I won't. Granddad's Pride? How many copies did y'all sell? They don't ever talk about that. They'll say, oh, it won the prestigious award. They're not going to tell you about how many copies. You know why? Because nobody's buying this crap. Nobody. That's why it's in the library, because it's free. And I bet you no kids. How many kids are going and checking this out of the library? Nobody. You know, they're trying to make a bit of a self-promotion here, you know. Oh my gosh, look, we're putting these books in and your kids are learning all about smashing, you know, gender norms. No, they're not. Because A, nobody's buying your bullshit books because they're obvious garbage. And B, even if you put them in the library and set them right out front, the kids are going to go right past them, you know. Kids are going to look at this stuff. Look at the illustrations. Kids are going to look at this stuff. I don't care if they're 5 years old. And they're naturally going to be repulsed by that, you see, because kids haven't had enough time yet to program them into being polite in polite society and pretending like this isn't stupid. So kids will automatically just be repulsed by it and go the other way. And then finally, the whole thing about the teddy bear, which is stupid. Oh, when the teddy bear realizes that he always wanted to be a girl teddy and not a boy teddy. So does the teddy bear in the illustrated book have sexual organs? You know, does Teddy have a dingus? And he wishes that he could just cut his fabric open. No, teddy bears don't have that. So what are they even talking about? Lazy writing, horrible illustrations. This is literary junk that nobody's buying. They give them awards and talk about how, oh, this is a groundbreaking work, and nobody's buying it. This is why the publishing houses are all in trouble, by the way. Most of these major publishers are very close to going completely broke because they publish crap like this that nobody is actually going to go buy. So you're a little bit of a white pill. Nobody's buying this. There are people going out and buying it and give their kids maybe some lunatic single mother this is her way of getting back at her baby's daddy or something, you know, just to spite him, you know. Oh, look, I bought your child. Look what I bought your child, this book that's thrown in the corner because kid ain't going to read that garbage. You know, nobody's buying it. The kids aren't checking the books out. You know, it's worth talking about to point out what they're doing. But again, you know, there is a larger agenda at work here, and they're using this you know, as a part of that agenda, but it's not necessarily directly to, oh, we're trying to turn the kids all into homosexuals and transgenders.
Well, the concern is that, I mean, it's the teachers that are reading this to the children. I mean, it's compulsory lessons. They have to be taught this. This is what they'll be teaching them at the primary schools. I agree with you. There aren't very many parents that are going to be purchasing books like this for their children. But it's the teachers that are forcing this into the children. This is being given to them as like preparing the way for turning them into Antifa, effectively, which is what they said at the teachers' union, that you know, how can we best turn these children into anti-fascists? The report features a written endorsement from Miss Fine, who condemns a dismal betrayal of young people by publishers and an unthinking capitulation to a biologically unfounded ideology whose false and troubling messages have damaged so many families. And I guess not just causing confusion to children, but the children that then go on to think that they're transgender and then go on to have surgeries and then they realize that in actual fact, all they had was autism or body dysmorphia or something similar, and that now they've carried out these irreversible harm to their body. That's the physical damage that is caused by this. She says, over the last decade, publishers, booksellers, librarians, and joyless would-be authors became a major conduit for trans activist propaganda and harmful lies. And again, you would think these are the last people that would do this. You would think that people that were involved in children's book publishing and librarians and teachers, you would think that they would be really concerned about the children, wouldn't you? But it seems that ideology, this left-wing ideology, is more important to them than harming children. One of Britain's most decorated writers, Miss Fine, has twice won the prestigious Carnegie Medal, Britain's leading award for children's authors, and two Whitbread Awards for adult fiction. This is the person who's written the foreword to the report. Her books include Madame Doubtfire, which inspired the hit Hollywood movie Mrs. Doubtfire, starring Robin Williams. And that wasn't a trans character, but it was a bloke dressed up as a woman. And the joke was that it's a bloke, obviously, and he's dressed up as a woman. It wasn't somebody that was claiming to be a woman in a man's body. The 78-year-old is rare among authors in speaking out against the trans rights movement. Fellow writers such as children's author Rachel Rooney and Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling have been subjected to cancellations in the world of publishing because of their stated beliefs in the reality of biological sex. Just as the children's publishing industry appears to have been the first captured, it is still almost the last readout of this dangerous idiocy, Miss Fine writes. A consensus enforced by silencing has no place in literature. And I mean, it's not just cancellation. I mean, J.K. Rowling's had all these death threats. She's been disowned by the actors that took part in her movies, even shows she was the person that gave them that chance to actually be Hollywood stars. She's had lawfare that's been used against her, all sorts of attacks. There's even a trans rights group that advocate for using violence and using hammers and smashing things and I forget what the word is, but we talked about them again in a couple of podcasts back. This trans activist group that talk about direct action, that's it, and how to use violence and smash things up effectively. So it's not as if these people are peaceful people. And what it's saying here is that even though elsewhere this might be being dialed back, like, for instance, the government saying, well, men are not allowed to use women's toilets and men are not allowed to compete in women's sports. So it looks like they're dialing it back a little bit, but it's still going on in all these children's books. And I think it will continue to do that all the while we have these extreme, and I mean extreme, left-wing teachers. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this?
Keep sending your kids to public school, I guess, if you know that this is what's going on. Several things, I guess. focusing in, zooming in on the ground as far as people that actually are promoting it. The idea behind this sort of literature, you know, because this is things kids would normally be going into, is to open them up to the idea. You know, remember that predators go where the prey is. So you have to figure, if you've got teachers that are openly promoting this in school, they're trying to open them up to this idea, and there's going to be a potential there that's so when the time comes and they unzip their fly, the kid is open to it and doesn't run off screaming. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but this is the reality. We've seen multiple stories like this. You know, oh, they celebrated this gay couple, and look, they've adopted children. And then like 2 years later, they're been arrested for producing their own child porn, abusing these kids. This is, you know, the big nasty down here. When you get down on the ground level of this. Now, going back to parents, you know, continuing to send their kids to school. And, you know, I say that and I always get the same reaction. Well, people don't have a choice. They've got to work and they got to send their kids to the school. You know, you got to make priorities. If your school is doing this, you know, if your school is doing this, you got to make priorities and choice. And, you know, you can sit here and write nasty letters and protest or go to the school board meeting, you know, but, at the end of the day, you got to prioritize your kids. I remember the story we did years ago now, because time flies. And I don't remember where it was. It was either in France or it might have been in Britain. I don't remember. You'll remember when I bring it up. But, you know, they had the brilliant idea that they were, you know, they had these schools. They had the school that was attended predominantly by Islamic students, and the government had this brilliant idea. The school board had this brilliant idea. They were going to do a class, you know, talking about our open free speech and, you know, doing pictures and talking about the Prophet Muhammad. And the parents obviously were outraged and said, you know, no, you're not. We're not going to have that. And they did what the government always does. They just ignore the parents and say, well, we're going to do it anyway. And eventually one of the family members cut the teacher's head off. And the government said, oh, my gosh, we're not going to surrender to this. And then, you know what they did? They surrendered. They didn't do that anymore, because even when they tried to say, you have to teach this, the teachers are like, I ain't getting my head cut off. I'm obviously not telling people to go out and cut teachers' heads off, but I'm saying you're either going to make a principled stand and say, we're not going along with this, or you're not. You sit there and whine and complain. But at the end of the day, if you send your kid to the school where you know the teacher is going to sit there and talk about, you know, granddad loves hairy anus and that's so good. And, you know, then you're still at the end of the day going along with it. You know, you either say no and you mean no, which means you're not going to send your kids to the school and to hell with them. Or you're at the end of the day, you go along. You know, they own you. Well, I've got to go, you know, earn a couple dollars. That's my priority. Then you were bought for a couple dollars. Because if you're gonna sacrifice your kids up for a couple of dollars, you know, that's what your kids are worth to you. And your kids will get that message too. And down the road, you're gonna have a whole lot more problems. You know, you got to decide, you know, at what point do you prioritize protecting your kids? You know, and, you know, somebody say, well, the government will make you look at some point in time. You tell the government to piss off. So that's what you got to do. You know, OK, now what? Oh, and to me, I can't imagine a person having a higher priority than the well-being of their kids, you know, not their income, what kind of car they drive, what kind of house they live in. I mean, this is a fundamental thing. You know, this is an instinctual thing as a human being that you protect your kids, and to hell with the cost, to hell with what somebody's law is or what kind of, you know, social shaming or whatever kind of bullshit they're going to throw your way. You protect your kids first and foremost. And, you know, that's what you got to do. You know, and again, if a school isn't doing this and you know who your kids' teachers are, you know what the academic program is there, and it's okay, then fine. But if you, I can't imagine having a 5-year-old sending them to school knowing that this is what, you know, they're being told, if the teachers are promoting this and making the kids sit through and listen to this crap. I can't imagine getting up the next day and go, well, off to school with you, little Timmy. I hear they're going to have new pictures of you know, some dude in bondage gear. Be excited. I just can't picture that, you know. You know, at the end of the day, you got to make a choice and say, you're not going to go along with it. And you're just not, you know, whatever threats they throw your way, whatever, you know, they bring to bear. If people will just not go along with it, you know, that's your real pushback, because you can complain to government officials all you want to. They don't care. How many times do you have to get the message? They don't care. They're going to do it anyway. They don't care. So at some point you prioritize your kids, and you know, if you have to make sacrifices to do so, you make sacrifices to do so. But if you're not willing to stand up for their kids, then you're, you know, you're not willing to stand up for anything else.
Well, a couple of years back, some Welsh families saw what was going to be taught to the children at school, and they were very concerned about this. And it was already being taught to the children in Scotland, where they've told the teachers there that they can diagnose if somebody is transgender from the age of 3 upwards, and they can decide whether they should tell the parents or not, and they should socially transition the child. And they don't have to tell the parents, which means they can start calling the child by the opposite pronouns to what their actual gender is. So this was going on in Scotland, and some Welsh families discovered that it was going to be going on in Wales as well. And they complained about this. They complained to the school, and there was a judicial review that was held. And these parents were very hopeful that the result of this judicial review, once the judge saw this content, would say that is absolutely not suitable for children. But that's not what a judicial review does. A judicial review looks at whether the school is complying with the letter of the law. And the upshot of the judicial review was that, yes, these schools are complying with the letter of the law. And it is the law itself that has told them that they have to promote this sort of stuff to children. So, I mean, you're in a bit of a situation then. What do you do in that situation where you have to teach the children at home, basically? I mean, this is coming down from above that they have to promote this stuff. And you're talking there about how this it effectively grooms children so that they're less likely to react negatively to sexual abuse. And unless people, I don't want people to think that we're saying that every homosexual is a pedophile, but homosexuals are more likely to be pedophiles than heterosexuals. If you, for instance, if you look at the prison population, 1% of the general population in prison identifies as homosexual. 1%, 35% of the paedophile population in prison identifies as homosexual. So just on those figures, you can see that homosexuals are 35 times more likely to be pedophiles than normal general population prisoners. So you could say pedophile criminals are more likely to be 35 times more likely to be homosexual than normal general population prisoners. And you can extrapolate that to general population at large as well, which is only 1-2% identify as homosexual, yet 35% of pedophiles do. So quite clearly there is a heightened risk of molestation of children amongst homosexuals. So why would you then be introducing homosexual ideas to children at a young age? It just doesn't make sense to me. So I say, I know what the motive is. The motive is that they don't want people to feel left out of society. They don't want homosexuals to feel left out of society. But surely if you were to say to them, a homosexual, what's better? A child gets molested or a child doesn't get molested, what would you rather? I'm sure most homosexuals would say, well, I would rather the child doesn't get molested. And you would have to say, well, in that case, we're not going to show them this propaganda any longer, because it's grooming them for that to take place. If you can see what I mean, you have to weigh these things up. And when you weigh them up, it's the safety of children, which should weigh heavier in the scales than anything else. Well, the report describes gender ideology as a harmful, biologically illiterate and regressive lie, and demands that publishers withdraw all trans activist literature for children and young people. To fail to do so will bring an industry with a reputation already tarnished by progressive authoritarianism into further disrepute. This is not a free speech issue, but it is a safeguarding issue. And that's the point that I'm making. It's about protecting children. No young child should be reading that it is possible to change sex through medicalization, including brutal double mastectomy. No child at all should have adult fetishes foisted upon them. The world of children's books has clearly not got the memo that the trans cult and its pseudo-religious belief in gender ideology are on the wane for good. This report serves as a special delivery of that very memo. Close quote. The report suggests that trans activist children's publishing is largely kept alive through the patronage of primary schools, using taxpayers' money. Again, it's the teachers at the primary schools which are ordering these books. And again, as I've said, they are only obeying the law in doing so. Campaign group Protect and Teach has compiled a list of more than 100 independent groups, it says, are promoting trans activist views to primary aged children. In an open market, most trans books would sink without trace due to the weight of their bad writing and non-existent plots, say the report's authors. And you were highlighting that earlier, Grandpa, weren't you, that if these books were just left to rise or sink on their own, they would sink out of trace because the children wouldn't be interested in reading them. And I say that these school teachers, they have to actually read these books to the children. That is the case because that's what the law says. But you would imagine that there would be far more primary school teachers up in arms about this and saying, I don't think we should be reading this to the children. And we don't actually hear of that. I mean, we hear of this report. And this is to do with anti-transgender trend or something is the name of this organisation. And they're an organisation which tries to highlight what's going on here. But you would imagine that the teachers themselves would not want to be doing this. You would like to think that the teachers would be putting, you know, the safety of your children first. But clearly they're not if they're just reading these books out. And you have to get turned to transgender trend to learn about this from a study rather than hearing from it from the teachers that are up in arms about it. I find that's, you know, quite alarming that it isn't teachers that are raising the alarm about this. Grandpa, what do you make of this quote here?
Well, judicial review, and you're talking about, you know, they kind of have no choice. The teachers have got to follow the law because the law is supreme in the land. Now, I ask a question. Do you think they're following the law in schools that are populated predominantly by Islamic students? Do you that's a question the audience can ask themselves. And you know, just what do people think? This is the law. The teachers have to teach this. But if you go to, say you go to an area of London that is predominantly Muslim, and the predominant, you know, the majority of the students in these classrooms, these little kids, are Muslim students, Islamic students. Do you think they're following the law? Or do you think they're just kind of quietly not doing that there because they don't want the pushback? The point is that they use the law as a justification, but at the same time, it's selectively used. You know, kind of like you were talking earlier about these leftist activist groups, you know, openly talking about using violence to get their means, and yet, you know, people such as yourself have to be careful to parse their words in a way that cannot possibly be twisted around to somehow indicate if you close one eye in a dark room, he was encouraging violence. And yet these people openly encourage violence against individual people. And yet it's okay. That's what I'm saying. When the law isn't actually held to a standard, you know, applied equally, there's no reason that people should, you know, have a respect for the law. You know, I'm not, you see what I'm saying? They, on the one hand, they use the law to bludgeon people into compliance, but at the same time, they themselves don't really apply the law as some sort of universal, you know, equally applied across the board thing. So it doesn't actually have any meaning, any substance backing it up. You just have an oppressive government that rules over you. The law is legitimate when the law applies to everybody across the board. When it doesn't, then it's just being selectively used to punish some people. And that's not legitimate law. Regardless of if you agree with the law, if it's applied equally to everybody, then, you know, there still has to be a certain amount of respect for it. When the law is obviously not handled in that manner, then it has no legitimacy. You're the fool for, you know, worrying about, oh, well, we've got to follow the rules. We got to follow the laws. And you yourself, you know, a person themselves can look at this and say, but it's not universally applied. It's not applied equally across the board. So why am I the only? It's like if you got into a game of flag football, you know, American football, not soccer, you know, and instead, you know, because in flag football, instead of tackling, you know, you just have like a little handkerchief out of your deal. And if somebody pulls that handkerchief out, that counts as you were tackled right there. So if you were in a flag football game, only the other team kept full on body slamming you to the ground and you're still running around pulling the flag out of people's pockets and, of course, losing. You know, at some point in time, you're an idiot, and people are just sitting there. They go from feeling sorry for you to going, well, why don't these guys catch on of how this game is being played? This comes back to illegitimacy of the system, of the government, and it's showing that over and over. And it is being reflected. I mean, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. I see, you know, the people more and more catching on and rejecting this stuff more and more. Again, this is part of the reason why we get these stories, try to get people back on these very limited conversations, when really the bigger picture does come back to the system itself.
Well, and of course, the system itself is clearly a two-tier system, which is all in the news at the moment about the police treating white people differently to everyone else, discriminating against white people effectively. Just recently, a white lad was beaten up by a black group, and the black group ran off, and the policewoman ran in there and arrested the white person who'd just been beaten up. Of course, this happens after Henry Novak, who was on the floor, blood trailing out of him, just been stabbed. And then you've got your Sikh man who's standing up upright saying, oh, he was racist towards me, and they ignore the man on the floor bleeding to death. So quite clearly we have a two-tier system. Getting back to the article here, this stuff doesn't sell because readers and viewers are repelled by didactic pedestrian plots reeking of academic queer theory. In a bid to make the industry appear less white, straight, and middle class, editors have become social engineers, acquiring didactic inclusivity by numbers titles that prioritize the promotion of a diverse utopia over the elements of storytelling that children have historically loved: great characterization, beautifully built worlds, humor, and engaging plots. The reason some remain in print is perhaps because they are on lists for use in schools provided by activist groups such as Stonewall. Organizations offering training in schools under the guise of diversity and inclusion, such as the No Outsiders Scheme, Just Like Us, Diversity Role Models, and EqualiTeach, also use storybooks in schools to spread the lie that changing sex is possible, and that being trans is an expression of your true self. Helen Joyce from the Sex Matters campaign group said, "The extent to which children's publishing has been taken over by trans narratives is quite terrifying. Most primary age children still believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. If they are taught the destabilizing and frightening lie that a child can change from being a boy to a girl by superficial means, such as changing hairstyle and clothing, they will believe that too." And that is a really sinister lie that is being taught to children. These other lies that they are taught, I think they're put in place so that children, as they get older, they can gradually tell when somebody's lying to them, when they're being spun a story that can't actually be true. It's this gentle way of making them aware that sometimes grown-ups may lie to them, and they need to be aware that sometimes people may be lying to them. Whereas in an instance like this, when you've got the law telling you that you're transphobic if you don't refer to somebody by their chosen pronouns, even when it's quite obvious you can see that they are the opposite sex, I mean, that's quite a big difference there. And it's good that this article is there in the Daily Mail. Obviously, it's a shame that most people that stand up against this, or certainly that stand up against mass immigration, just get called racists and Nazis. So I'm quite pleased to see that the people that are standing up to this are actually given a fair crack of the whip here. They are actually being quoted and asked questions here. And as it says here, the reason why these books are in print, why they are still selling, is because they're on lists that are provided to the schools by these activist groups. And until the legal advice changes and schools are told that they should not be teaching this stuff to children, then unfortunately they are going to keep going to groups like Stonewalls and Mermaids for the information on this. And also, all the while, we've got these left-wing teachers there. I really don't think teachers should be able to say that we want to train the children to be Antifa at the country's largest National Union of Teachers conference. I think that's, you know, they should be objective. They shouldn't be political towards the right or the left, and yet they are extreme left. So it really is a serious problem. And of course, not everybody is going to be able to homeschool their children. Not everybody is going to want to homeschool their children, because it means that they won't be interacting with other children in their own age group so much. So I can understand these concerns. I suppose the best thing is to just sit there and talk with your children and find out whether this stuff is being taught to them at school, and explain to them what the truth is, and perhaps go to the school and say, look, you don't want this stuff being taught to your children. I did hear a while back what the schools were saying. They were saying, oh, yes, well, you can always have access to what your children are being taught, but we can't send it to you by email because of copyright claims. So you'll have to actually come into the school to read it. And apparently that's not true. They can send this content out. So if you are a parent and you're saying to the school, look, I want to see what my child is being taught, you do have a right to do that. And they shouldn't be telling you, oh, well, you'll have to take the day off work to come in to see it in the school. They should be able to email it to you. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
It's all like it's one big test to see how domesticated the population really is. You know, I think that's why by and large, the British population is so domesticated that, you know, that's why you see things, you know, I mean, as bad as things here are in the U.S., our population as a whole is a little less domesticated. You know, that's not to say it's still not, you know, obviously we still got a lot of problems, but, you know, the reason you don't see it pushed to that extent, you know, you see it here in Britain, it's not pushed, it's still pushed here, but not to that extent. This is like a test. And again, the American population is a little less domesticated than the British one. And they know this, so they're seeing how far they can push it, you know, because at some point in time there is unrest bubbling under the surface. You were talking about, you know, group of white people attacked by these black people, and of course the cops show up and start arresting the white people, you know, and at some point, you know, at what point in time do the white people refuse to be arrested? And then what, you know, and then what if it grows from there? As long as the people continue to just, just go along and continue to play flag football while they're being tackled, you know, that you're going to get the same, you know, the same thing is going to happen. I think the reason we're not quite at the extent here in America is because our population is a little less domesticated and thus is going to be more prone to violence, to be honest. And they know this, you know, that's not promoting violence, but it's just stating obvious reality. The American population is a lot closer to a ticking point to where they might go off and violent things might happen that could quickly spiral out of the government's control. So you don't see that push as far as you see it, for instance, in the UK, because the population is much more domesticated. So the big question in is, how domesticated is the population? Is there no limit? Is there no limit to what the population will tolerate? Or is there a limit? And if there is, what point is it? And is the government ultimately going to push it past that limit? And then if they do and it breaks, what's that going to look like? What's it going to shake out and look like? And what are going to be the ramifications? These are all questions that I think deserve considering, because that which cannot continue won't. And this sort of thing is not going to continue. It will, this world we live in craves balance, and it will always seek balance out one way or the other. So this will not continue one way or the other, whether the native population finally rediscovers that they're human beings and they don't have to just take unlimited amounts of shit because somebody says they have authority over them, or whether the country becomes more and more Islamicized. That's not the right term, but you know what I mean. And the Islamic population continues to grow, and then they put a stop to it and basically enforce their own social norms. Balance will be restored one way. That this sort of nonsense, if you think 30 years from now they're still going to be doing this in the schools, it's not going to happen. One way or the other, it's all going to come piling in. And because that's just the nature of the world we live in, it seeks balance. And this is an obvious, ridiculous, out of balance thing. And it will be corrected. How it's corrected, I have no idea. But it will be corrected. And this sort of nonsense will not go on.
Well, we must be reaching near the limit now, I would have thought, with teaching toddlers S&M bondage and fetishes. I mean, there isn't much further, surely, that they could go than that. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.